Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. The closure of San Diego's San Onofre nuclear power plant raises questions about where and how we're going to get electricity for Southern California in the long term. But that's not the only question buzzing. KQED science editor Craig Miller explores what the shutdown might mean for California's efforts to cut greenhouse gas emissions.
For all its troubles, nuclear power has two big things going for it. It's steady and reliable. And it's clean, at least from a greenhouse gas standpoint. A running reactor puts virtually no carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. That's important in California, where state law requires rolling back carbon emissions to 1990 levels within the next 7 years.
Ultimately, over the longer term, we probably can offset the emissions that you're now going to get because of San Onofre being down.
Steve Berberick heads the agency that runs the electrical grid, the Independent System Operator. In a conference call with reporters, he was candid about the immediate effect.
That being said, in the short and midterm, clearly that you're moving in the wrong direction from a greenhouse gas emission perspective.
That's because utilities are making up for the lost nuclear power mostly by burning natural gas, which is significantly cleaner than coal, but still a fossil fuel that creates carbon emissions. An independent analysis by the Pro-Nuclear Breakthrough Institute concludes that the shutdown will mean an extra 8 million metric tons of CO2 going into the air each year. That sounds like a lot, but it's only about 2% of the industrial carbon emissions currently tracked by state officials.
Taking a big nuclear plant offline doesn't necessarily mean that California is going to take a greenhouse gas hit for the long term.
Tim O'Connor leads climate programs in California for the Environmental Defense Fund. He and other boosters of renewable energy are seeing an opening here.
Southern California is exploding with rooftop solar and localized generation, and that's exactly where this stuff needs to go. So I certainly think that this is an opportunity for clean energy providers to make up that shortfall, especially in the L.A. area.
But those additional watts from solar and wind won't come quickly. There aren't enough transmission lines to simply import clean energy from outside San Onofre's core service area. So for now, grid managers admit that most of the replacement power will have to come from natural gas plants in the area. The Air Resources Board, the lead agency responsible for carbon reductions in California, would say only that it still expects to meet its reduction targets. For the California Report, I'm Craig Miller.
We'll be following San Onofre all summer. Make sure you don't miss any of our coverage. Subscribe to our podcast. You'll find us on iTunes, and of course, there's a link at our website, californiareport.org. Since it was created after World War I, the California Veteran Farm and Home Purchase Program has helped more than 400,000 veterans buy a piece of the American dream and become homeowners. But in recent years, the program has withered. Interest rates are higher than commercial loans. Critics call it an anachronism, duplicating efforts of the federal government and the private sector. Aaron Glantz with the Center for Investigative Reporting has the story. The first of a series of stories on veterans' issues will be airing this summer.
This is Cindy, and she's busy with one of them, with a call, and here's Althea, and see, she's also busy with one of the calls. So this is it. I mean, this is, you know, where the calls come in for people that are processing loans.
At the California Department of Veterans Affairs headquarters in Sacramento, the loan program's offices are eerily silent. Agency spokesman Jaime Arteaga tells me that more than 200 calls a day come in on the agency's toll-free number. But while I am there, the phone rings only once. The California VA's own data reveals it rarely makes loans. It has the money. Thanks to voter-approved bond measures, the agency could issue more than $1 billion in loans. Yet it granted just 59 loans in the last 7 months, or fewer than one every 3 days. Last year, the agency spent more on administration than it approved in loans.
You can't ignore the housing market the way it has been here in California for the past 5 years.
That's J.P. Tremblay, the department's deputy secretary. He blames the low number of new loans on the bad economy and says things are about to change.
Our department and our home loan program took this opportunity to restructure itself and position itself so that it is very financially solid and ready to move forward as people are getting back into the housing market, which they are right now.
Last month, the agency lowered its interest rate to 3.9%. The small number of veterans receiving loans is frustrating advocates and lawmakers who are seeking to ensure a smooth transition for those returning home from war. State Assembly Speaker John Perez wants to take about half of the program's bond funding and use it to build housing for homeless veterans.
We have huge numbers of new veterans coming home from Afghanistan, others who've come home from Iraq, who are in tremendous need. And one of the areas of need is for housing.
Shifting money to pay for housing homeless veterans would need voter approval, but the proposal has already unanimously passed the Assembly.
Los Angeles has the highest concentration of homeless vets in the country. San Diego has the third highest. The San Francisco Bay Area has the ninth highest. So three of the top 10 centers of veterans homelessness are here in California.
At the Harbor Lights Detox Center in San Francisco's South of Market neighborhood, Marine Corps veteran John Robinson is checking in for the night. For more than a decade, he was homeless and addicted to crack. But though he's been clean for nearly 2 years, he still can't find an apartment.
Qualifying to even get an apartment, like for me right now, would be like next to impossible because of bad credit and because of just like not being responsible in the past.
Robinson has a job. He makes minimum wage training as a bus driver. He's still living at the drug rehab center, which is run by the Salvation Army.
With the homelessness issue, there's a lot of other issues combined with that. And, you know, and it's just like, but at the same time, if a veteran could get a place to live to start on all this stuff, then maybe he has a chance. But it's hard to do that stuff from the street.
Back at the California VA, Deputy Secretary Tremblay says his agency would welcome spending some of the bond money to help homeless veterans. Even if it passed, the agency would still have more than $500 million available to make new loans. For the California Report, I'm Aaron Glantz.
Aaron Glantz's story was produced in collaboration with the Center for Investigative Reporting. That's the California Report for Wednesday, June 12th, the production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the Mary Van Voorhees Fund and the Follis Family Fund for coverage of climate change. The California Teachers Association, celebrating 150 years of advocating for all students, educators, and California's public schools and colleges. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as data storage, compression, and disaster recovery. Barracuda.com.